Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we are discussing various elements of service management. And when you think of customer service, let's just say you're thinking of calling on the telephone, you're calling a customer service agent. How often do you get attended immediately? A lot of times you don't actually. So more often than not, you will get a message while you're on, you know, you're dialing in that, all our customer service agents are busy right now and please stay on the line. Your call is important to us. In addition to, you know, this call might be recorded, etc., all of that. And while you're hearing these words that you're please stay on the line, our customer next available customer service agent will be with you immediately and all of that. We all know how frustrating it is and very often how long and arduous those waits are. Very often while waiting, you see that you have automatically been disconnected while you have not even done that consciously. Very often you will get some estimate in terms of, you know, your call will be attended to in approximately 8 minutes or you are 21 in queue, and you know that just doesn't, the 8 minutes doesn't seem to go down, or you continue to be 21 in queue for the longest time. Now we are all familiar with these experiences. I'm giving you on the phone one example. It could be in person, it could be waiting to talk to a chatbot, which are managing a majority of the customer service issues these days. Not just the world over, but also specifically in India. So now when we are talking about all of this, is queuing or something which can be handled in a systematic manner, is it important enough for there to actually be queuing management strategies, queuing handling strategies, queuing theories? The answer to that is yes. Queuing theory is an actual science, and actual, there is a whole dedicated management behind that. There is management software to help you manage. And very interestingly, look at the timing that we are discussing this. And today, just yesterday, in the Mint, which is one of the very reputable papers when it comes to business aspects, there is a report by ServiceNow, which has published how much time Indians spend waiting in queues to have their customer service complaints lodged and resolved. So it's very interesting, and some of you may be interested in going back and reading this in more detail. So I'll let you know that you can Google ServiceNow report, and it's dated 25th March. Of 2025, and it's in the Mint. And if you Google this, that article will pop up. Now, as per that report, in 2024, Indians spent 15 billion hours, 15 billion hours waiting in line to lodge their complaints. This is after enough AI implementation, enough chatbots being around. So despite human service agents, despite technology, despite chatbots, 15 billion hours of time was wasted just being on the phone waiting to lodge your complaint. And this is when 80% of the customer service issues which are, I want to check the status of my refund or various, I want to check the status of my complaint, etc. 80% are already handled by the bots. Despite that, 15 billion hours was wasted. What was interesting is that this is actually lesser than what was the number of billion hours that was wasted in the previous year. So, this is very interesting and actually quite alarming, because the time that you're spending waiting in queue is a complete waste, right? You can't do anything else. You're sitting and waiting on the phone, whether you're on your hands-free, whether, you have your Bluetooth. But while you're waiting to have this interaction, you cannot do anything else. And you don't know how soon they will, because the minute you get an agent, if you're not there to respond or you've taken it off or you get busy with something else and don't have the information you need to share, you're going to have to, you know, maybe call back, which is going to be again the whole process. So queuing theory was initially conceptualized and formalized as a theory by an engineer in Copenhagen, Angel Erlang. And Mr. Erlang was an engineer in the Copenhagen Telephone Exchange. And in the early 1900s, he used to see how, the traffic happens, how much people have to wait, how many people are required, to reduce the waiting times, etc. And he put all of these studies and understandings, etc., in his 1920 paper on waiting, specific waiting in the phone queue, specific to the telephone exchange. And in his honor, because he's one of the first persons to have formalized this theory that, yes, it is something which can be scientifically studied, measured, worked on, improved, the international measure of telephone traffic is named after him and called Erlang. So, starting from there, cut to 1950s and New York in the United States. What was one of the phenomena that was happening to the topography of New York at that point of time? For the first time, these skyscrapers were coming up, these high rises where you could not take the stairs up, but elevators were being installed for the first time. So skyscrapers were coming up and, these newly installed elevators. And because of those elevators, there were long queues. Now, people used to get very, very restless in those long queues because it was a system which they were not familiar with, and in terms of punctuality there, punctuality levels are far higher than, possibly in India. So it was a very, very frustrating experience when people could not, people had to wait long times for the elevator and, it would not be a very pleasant experience. Now, a large part about queuing theory has to do with feeling and the psychology, because technically you might actually just be waiting, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, a couple of minutes. But when you are just waiting for something without being able to do anything, it actually feels wasted time while waiting feels longer than it actually is. You may have been waiting for 3 minutes, but waiting there idly 3 minutes, not doing anything else, it can actually feel like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So the experience and the psychology and the emotional factor behind queuing and waiting is far far deeper than the actual absolute value of the waiting time that you have lost. So what was the answer to this? Now, what do you do? So you have a situation, you are progressing, the property space is booming. To get to the office, they have no choice but to take the elevator, because now it's at a much higher floor, which is not always possible to climb up. Women may be in high heels, so they can't climb up that many floors, men too. So what do you do? How do you reduce the pain of waiting and getting restless while waiting for an elevator? The answer to it was fairly simple. The answer was mirrors around the elevator waiting area. So simply by putting mirrors, the people who were getting frustrated waiting for elevators got distracted. They checked themselves up. Maybe, the women reapply their lipstick, people brush their hair, or they're just, admiring themselves. It provided a distraction from the dullness of just standing and waiting and doing nothing. Really, actually, if you see what all can you, there's not too much activity you can do looking at yourself in the mirror in a public space. But it was some distraction which significantly eased the pain and the psychological stress of having to wait in queues. So when you talk about queue management, it is a matter of sensitivity, empathy. It is a matter of really understanding that it can be very simple. It doesn't have to involve huge cost, investment, too much complexity. If you use a little bit of out-of-the-box thinking to be able to make the queuing experience, far simpler. So when we talk about, queuing management, there are a lot of softwares. For example, in India, you have softwares like QMinder, you have Visitor with a Z. A lot of the software which help you manage, for your queue management system. So we are going to learn about all of these various elements in this discussion and see how the customer flow can be managed. Now, while talking about queuing theories and moving to some of the elements of where queues have been managed well, we also want to look at some of the cases where queues were not entirely managed well and what learnings we can get out of those. So this gives you a basic structure in terms of, from the served customer to the customer and for the CSAT scores to be high, for the customer to be a net promoter rather than be a detractor, it is important to have a well-defined queuing strategy and a model. So some of the terminology that you will come across, queuing, queues may be indefinite. When it is indefinite, being indefinite doesn't mean that you're waiting for 5 years on the phone. Indefinite means it's uncertain. You don't know. It's very frustrating to not know, do I have to wait 15 minutes? Do I have to wait 3 minutes? Whereas if it is finite, you have a defined number, a stated number, even if it is longer. As long as there is a certainty and it is finite, it is far easier to be able to handle it. So there are various terms in terms of, queue management, finite, infinite. These are what they mean, certainty, uncertainty, information being shared, not being shared. For example, very often when a customer approaches, let's say a bank or a, telecom service agent or the insurance company, and the customer service agent says, okay, sir, I've taken, account of your issue, and this is your ticket number, complaint ticket number, and I will get back to you. A lot of times the customer says, can you give me an idea of how long it will take you to get back to me? Because is your turnaround time 24 hours? Is your turnaround time 1 week? Is your turnaround time 1 month? I want to know so that before that deadline goes, I don't start getting restless and harassing you and also stressing myself out, So when you are expecting payment from someone and a person is like, okay, yes, the payment is in process. Okay, but what is your turnaround time? Make it finite for me. Tell me that our payment service terms are that we send the payment to you within 10 days. We send the payment to you within 15 days. Whatever it is, rather than, yes, it's in process, it's reaching. Yes, it's in process, it's reaching. So finite and infinite, this is what it means, where there is knowledge and certainty versus lack of knowledge and you don't know, it's very open-ended. So, in India, we have heard this, aap Qatar mein hai, and a lot of jokes made around that. So a line can be extremely frustrating, and to talk about how a recent case happened where the traffic and the queue management not working well is remembered even a decade later, despite the company having, admitted their fault and made a lot of improvements. So, for example, we've all heard of Flipkart, right? We are aware of Flipkart. And in 2014, Flipkart decided to have a big sale day, the big billion sale day, and they it was scheduled for October 6th in 2014, and their target was that on this day they wanted to clock in 600 crores in sales, which, and typically the sales they clock in on a single day is 30 crores. So the idea was a lot of promotions, lot of discounts, lot of marketing to draw in customers and have clock in sales on that one single day of 600 crores versus 30 crores, which was their typical average of what they would clock in on a certain day. Now, obviously, given the aggressive marketing, aggressive discounts and everything that they were having, there was a lot of weeks of preparation that went into preparing for that one day from an inventory point of view, from a process point of view, from a marketing point of view, from the IT teams were ensuring that, you know, obviously there's going to be higher traffic. So when this higher traffic comes in, we want to be able to, we want our site to have more, we want to have more space on the server. So that we can handle this increased traffic, because, you know, otherwise sites crash, what we know as sites crashing. So, we want to be able to do that. And there was all of this. And then October 6th happened. And first, the sale opened at 6 a.m. on October 6th. Initially, it opened for an exclusive period of 2 hours, only for the employees, giving a benefit to the employees that you can be the first purchasers. And then 8 o'clock, it opened to the public. By 8:10, the site had crashed, because the kind of traffic they got, the customer traffic they got online on their site, was of a magnitude that the IRCTC, which is our over-visited, over-trafficked railway booking site, gets over a couple of weeks. They had a target of 600 crores in 24 hours. Eventually, they managed to clock in 600 crores of worth of sales within 10 hours after crashing several times. But less than 10% of the people who visited the site could actually make a successful purchase. So it led to huge outrage. The next day, everyone exploded in the press, exploded on social media, brickbats. Customers were upset. They had made their plans. They had identified things they want to buy, all of that, etc. And it was while the revenue targets were achieved, it was a mad mess in terms of a massive gap in the supply versus the, you know, an overwhelming demand. And you obviously did not have the server capacity to be able to service this demand. Now, the good thing is that the CEO acknowledged this. He went online and issued a public apology. Expressed how it was overwhelming in terms of the response they got, and the learning that they have got from this episode based on the technological upgradations they need to have, the other planning that they need to have, the how the teams need to be skilled for this, what sort of, you know, changes they need to make in their marketing as well. Because, you know, to give you a very funny example, which is, not exactly the healthiest thing around, but it's a fact. It happened in reality. When the pandemic hit, in the initial few months, if you remember, there was a ban on sale of alcohol and alcohol shops were shut. And then after, I think, two and a half months, the government came up with, allowed the alcohol shops to open and, had certain hours within which, and using certain SOPs in terms of queuing and masks and all of that, alcohol could be sold. And if you remember, the entire internet and the press and the social media was full of cases all over the country where, these alcohol shops got mobbed and, had to shut because of violence and because of people, going mental and 4 hours and hours long queues, and people overdrank and, accidents happened, and some car, there were videos floating around of this car going, this person getting so drunk on that day one when the alcohol shops opened that he went and smashed his car into someone's home and the wall caved in, and all these insane episodes, and which led to a clampdown, then a revised SOP which regulated the way in which the sale could happen, controlling, managing the queues came about, and hence it started. So while I'm not promoting the consumption of alcohol in any way, but I'm giving you an example of the frenzy, and that frenzy one has to anticipate frenzy. If there is going to be that kind of traffic, if there is going to be that kind of queuing, then one has to be able to anticipate it and accordingly plan for it and respond to it. So Flipkart did a very good job in terms of generating this frenzy. They got that hype, but in terms of delivering and meeting the customer satisfaction, it was a case of failure of queue management. And then think of it in this way, that the next time Flipkart comes up with a similar promotional day and sale and comes up with, people might say, I'm not going to waste my time, you know, going on to the site. You know, I woke up at 8 o'clock because, you know, it was opening at 8 and I wanted to be there right at the start, and I couldn't even purchase and I wasted. I woke up earlier than I typically would and went online, and in future, I'm not going to bother because, you know, the site hangs in any case. Very often that happens, that we're not going to bother. The site is really bad. We can't seem to make the purchase. We'll go elsewhere and, you know, buy it for a, even if it's for a higher amount. So the learning from experiences like this are very, very important. And it's really important that the queuing experience does not become painful, and there is balance in terms of the demand, future demand, current demand, and the supply. Now, when we are talking about queuing, the importance of queuing is very, very vital across industries. For example, in a certain country, there are these B-20 stealth bombers. You know, in the unfortunate industry of war and defense, there is, bombers are used across the world by, you know, practically every country. So now it was observed that this these very expensive high-end B-20 bombers, this military had only 20 in number. And each of those bombers, when it was required, given the defense situation, the war situation, when the requirement was there, it had to be ready to be deployed within a matter of, you know, seconds. So now it was also observed that while the requirement was just in time, right away, it had to be ready at a moment's notice for deployment, each one had to be serviced very frequently. And the servicing of each of these bombers took a long time, and not just a few days, sometimes a few weeks. So you could not obviously send all of them for servicing at the same time. So what was the frequency at which how many of them should be serviced and maintained simultaneously, so that availability was always there for stealth bombers to be ready at a moment's system. And based on this, a decision was made and a system was devised and designed in terms of how many of these could be serviced simultaneously, and the rest should be kept free given the timing and various other things. So it becomes that critical in terms of response time. The queue theory, the queue management system becomes that critical in terms of response time. The anticipation in terms of the demand, anticipation in terms of capacities, all of these are key characteristics of the queuing process. Now, how can you improve the wait times? Now, I have given you, a very, very basic example of what was deployed and was successful in the 1950s, which simply involved installing mirrors outside, you know, full-length mirrors in the waiting area of your elevators. And in fact, even today, you will see that, you know, elevators of buildings have mirrors, not just outside, but they have full-length mirrors even inside elevators, you know, because sometimes from, you know, high rises, the elevator itself stopping at a lot of floors, especially during peak hours, can end up taking a lot of time before reaching the floor that you want to reach. So there are ways in which you can have an informed understanding of what is the wait time, how much customer needs to wait, communicate, make it finite versus infinite, and how can you, even after making it finite, how can you improve the experience of the wait time? A very simple way of making the whole queuing experience manageable and comfortable for the customer is by providing an activity. So for example, very often when you go to, when families go to a restaurant where there are kids too, you know, they've gone with families and they, you have to wait in queue, especially if it's a weekend or something, very often the restaurant provides, you know, coloring books and the kids will start coloring, or some other, quiz or a crossword or something. So providing an activity keeps people occupied, doesn't make the wait feel that long. Now, in India, let's say you go to a restaurant which is very popular, and there's a waiting. Sometimes the waiting can be, 45 minutes to an hour, and they can only give you an estimate, they can't give you an exact number. That 1 hour could become 1 hour 15 minutes, or it could be half an hour. So you give your name, and then you wonder, should I leave if my turn comes and they give the table to someone else, then I'll have wasted and then I'll have to wait again. But what do I do? Do I just sit and wait here? So it becomes a little difficult to be mobile despite having an estimated idea of how long you'd have to wait. But internationally, what they do is, in a lot of restaurants, they give you this little gadget which buzzes, and they will take your reservation, and then they will take your phone number, or they will give you this little buzzer, and they will say, you can leave the restaurant, you can go out and about, you're doing some around there, you can look at other shops, etc. And you just have to be alert to that buzzer buzzing, and maybe this little light flashing on that, because that is an alert that your table is ready. Then you shouldn't be too far you to miss your table, because they have reached out to you and let you know. So having that little, it's something so tiny and so simple, but having that little buzzer which vibrates and gives you this little flashlight alerting you to the fact that your table is ready now, you can go out and do other work. If you have to go to another store, you have to buy groceries, you have to do some other errand, you can very well do that. You can go out, and if you want to make calls in your privacy and not inside the restaurant, you want to stand outside, you can peacefully respond to your emails, make your calls. So providing that activity or giving you the leeway to kind of go away, that flexibility makes the whole process of waiting and experience of waiting that much more manageable, and keeps the customers engaged and satisfied versus having an endless infinite wait, just standing around, hanging around. And typically on weekends you'll have multiple people waiting, and waiting areas, as you typically know, do not even have chairs to sit, and can't have. How can you have so much space just for the waiting area? So a lot of places, establishments like restaurants, don't even have, you just have to stand around, you will not even get place to sit. So these things have to be kept in mind, and they're not always extremely complex from a delivery point of view. They can be fairly simple. Now when it comes to, let's talk about waiting areas where you do have comfortable seating areas, but just having comfortable seating doesn't mean that you're going to not get restless. So in a doctor's waiting area, in any other office, at the reception, at a salon while you're waiting for your turn, what do you typically see? You see magazines kept out there. You see newspapers kept out there. These keep you occupied and busy. Hence, it's such a simple solution, but keeps you busy. You can browse through. I was in a habit of carrying a book with me wherever I went, because I'm an avid reader, so I keep reading. So I would always carry my book, and while waiting, I would start reading that. Now, sometimes you are not allowed to carry, in some of the places. For example, if you're going to a government office, bags are checked. You have to carry a compact little bag where, maybe just your wallet and ID and phone are there, and you can't really have anything else. So I can't carry my book. Now, if I have internet connection, maybe I can read something there, but you don't want your battery to die out, various other things. So if there is on the premises itself, there is a reading material like magazines, then that can make the wait that much more comfortable and the experience that much more comfortable. In fact, on flights, especially before those TV monitors, now you have TVs behind your seats, but in domestic flights, you still don't have those, right? So having magazines, and a lot of flights have in-flight magazines, and those in-flight magazines are not some functional mundane thing that we should have provide some reading material. Some of those magazines, in-flight magazines, take their content extremely seriously, to the point that there are people who request the crew that, can we take a copy with us? These are high quality, well designed with good articles, interviews, information, shopping experiences, etc., in these in-flight magazines. So, you know, whatever your flying time, 2 hours, 10 hours, whatever, if it's, of course, a longer time, you probably have a TV monitor as well. But, you know, even for shorter times, they are keeping you occupied in a way which makes your waiting experience, in this case, your waiting experience that much more comfortable.